Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
This is an encore edition of Soundcheck. When everyone has a camera at a concert, what's left for the rock photographer? This is Soundcheck. I'm John Schaefer, and today on the show, music photography and the digital revolution. And then later, the young pianist Shaoyin Wang was a rising star on China's competitive classical music scene. Before coming to the States, she'll join us to play live some music from her new album of Scriabin works. But first, the digital age is changing the way music history is being captured. Most fans at a given concert have the ability to snap a picture either with a cell phone or a pocket-sized digital camera. So today we'll look at how fan photography is changing the art of the image in music. In a moment we'll talk with a young photographer about her career, but we're joined first by rock photographer Bob Gruen. He took his first concert photo of Bob Dylan going electric at the Newport Folk Festival in 1965, and since then has captured some of rock's most memorable images, including John Lennon sporting a New York City T-shirt. Bob, welcome to Soundcheck.
Well, thank you. I'm very glad to be here.
So, obviously, digital was a big revolution in photography, but now, having little cameras built into, like, tiny devices that we all have with us, what has this done to your art form?
Well, it's made it much more accessible for a lot of people, and a lot of people find that they express themselves through photography, so they really enjoy doing it.
Does that make your job harder?
Well, it makes not the job harder, but it makes selling the pictures harder because there's so many more available. But on the other hand, with the internet, there's so many more outlets, thousands more places to put pictures. When I started out, there was very few magazines that were interested in rock and roll at all. It wasn't in mainstream magazines like, you know, People or New York Times or things like that, where you see it very commonly today. Back in the 70s, the New York Times wouldn't review a rock and roll concert, not even the Rolling Stones, you know. So there's a lot more outlets, but a lot more people taking pictures.
But are those outlets places that pay? I mean, you're a professional.
Oh, well, there was never a lot of money in this business. You know, what I tell people who want to be a rock photographer is don't give up the day job. It's not really a great way to make money. So it's a great way to have fun.
Mm-hmm. And certainly over the course of your career, you've gotten a chance to meet a lot of your musical heroes.
That too, yes.
I mentioned Dylan going electric at the Newport Folk Festival. Did you ever
actually?
Actually,
that's the one
person
I haven't really met or gotten to know. A lot of my subjects I got to be pretty good friends with, like John Lennon or Joe Strummer. Dylan always had a distance, and I never really connected, which I enjoy because I'm actually one of his biggest fans. And I can still be a fan because I don't know him on a personal level.
Mm-hmm.
So I can still be like everybody else in the world and just appreciate his art.
Was it hard for you to be a fan of John Lennon or The Clash because you knew John and Joe Strummer?
Not
so well?
With those guys. Those are great guys. And it was really fun getting to know them, actually.
Is that how this all started for you? At just being a fan and wanting to capture the moment for
yourself?
Well,
yes. I mean, I was at Newport as a fan. I talked myself into getting a photo pass because I wanted to get down front. That's one of the advantages of being a photographer and getting the photo pass is you get right down front, and in those days you could stay there for the whole show. So that's really the reason I got into it, was to see the show better because I was a fan. And I was living with a rock band in the 60s and taking pictures of them with my friends, and eventually they got a record contract. Bob Crewe produced them in a band called The Glitter House, and they used my photos and they started hiring me. And then it just kind of worked out that every time I got hired and I'd go to a job, I'd meet more people and they'd hire me for the next jobs.
And very quickly, it seems, as rock became sort of the ascendant musical genre, the image became really important. I mean, from the Beatles and the Stones on, you had to look the part as well. And you fell in with one of the most photogenic bands of the early 70s.
Well, actually, I started with Tina Turner. And,
pretty photogenic,
Tina Turner in the 70s, and she's pretty hot, you know. But then working with the New York Dolls, they're a lot to look at, and you know, which actually I came through. It was John Lennon was working with Elephant's Memory, and their manager was the same manager as the New York Dolls, so that's how I got to meet them. And then at the end of their time, Malcolm McLaren came in to manage a little bit. So when I went to England, I knew him, and I got to meet the Clash and Sex Pistols and work with them. So one thing always led to another.
The band New York Dolls, we had Sylvain on the show just last week, and he was talking about how, you know, in the early days they would, like, go to their sister's dressers, you know, and thrift shops and just throw on any old thing, and you would come along and take those photos. Those photos have now been collected in a very, very pink book.
Yes, it's very bright pink, and it's actually spandex. The cover's made out of spandex.
Is it
feels
really?
Very nice. Yeah.
I was wondering what that was.
It's very bright. It's got in silver letters. It's in keeping with the band, and it's the pictures are very bright. And it's actually, I'm very proud of the book. David Johansen and Sylvain did long interviews explaining the origins of the band, and Legs McNeil collected quotes from about 80 different people. Debbie Harry, Richard Hell, all kinds of people talking about how the Dolls influenced them. So it's a really nice book and out now on Harry Abrams' label.
We're speaking with the veteran rock photographer Bob Gruen, whose book is called New York Dolls, Photographs by Bob Gruen. The New York Dolls, it was not just the music, there was the image, which was captured by my guest, Bob Gruen, the veteran rock photographer. It is a changing world. When did you realize that your profession was changing?
Well, the digital started coming in the 80s, but in the early 90s, I had an exhibit in France, in the south of France, in Perpignan, which is a small town, but big enough that they have their own newspaper, and I was interviewed. And the photographer took some pictures and said I could come by while he developed them. And I went to the newspaper office, and they were developing the pictures, and I looked around the office, and every desk had a computer terminal on it, and I didn't see a pencil or a piece of paper in an entire newspaper office. There was about 8 or 10 desks, and there wasn't even a piece of paper pinned to the wall. The entire operation was on the computer. And I was just talking about with some friends the other day, it's been several years since, I mean, 5, 6, 7, 8 years maybe since we've actually sent a photo or a slide to a magazine. They wouldn't know what to do with it if you sent them a slide. I think a lot of people who work in magazines now, if they're under 25, they've probably never seen a transparency and you know, wouldn't know what it is. So it just became essential to be able to make scans and email them or put them, you know, through an FTP site or something. And somebody calls up, they don't want me to send a messenger with a bag of, you know, 8x10.
They just want they want the email with the file attached.
They just want the file ready to put in the layout.
But now it's not just digital. It's tiny digital devices that everybody has, and it, you know, it sort of raises the question. They are getting better, and it raises the question. You know, will there be room for future professional photographers in the music business? Let me read you a comment that Bob left on the soundcheck page of our website. He writes, "The professional photographers are safe. Key things, access to places closer to the stage, knowledge how to make a good picture, high-quality equipment." Do you agree with that?
Well, that all counts a lot, because especially the access, the equipment, and knowing, you know, how to get a good photo. I mean, it does take experience to know the timing, to know where to be. You have to anticipate what's going to happen and be in the right place before that happens. Having a telephoto lens with the right kind of telephoto lens and using it at the right time, all of these add up to making a much more professional photo. You know, with the digital, you always see, like, whoever's standing next to you taking a snapshot on their cell phone always works better than yours. It always looks like somebody else just got an amazing shot. But a lot of times when you blow them up, the quality doesn't hold up or it's not in focus, you know.
Let me ask you about perhaps your most famous photo, this iconic image of John Lennon, arms crossed, he's got the glasses on, he's got that New York City T-shirt. And, I mean, that's it. That's all it is. It's such a simple
shot.
It's
very simple.
But
why is
that a good photo?
Professional aspects to it that you couldn't really do with a cell phone, having to do with the length of the lens, the telephoto lens that I use, which compresses the background but also leaves the background out of focus, things like that. So he seems to be very much in the city. A cell phone has a much a different view of things like that. and you can't adjust them as easily. So I think it would be difficult to get something with that same feeling and that same quality.
Now, you knew John Lennon. You were friends with him. You were kind of the house photographer for the years that John and Yoko were living in New York.
I was his personal photographer, yeah.
So does that mean you were on staff, that Lennon
no,
was
No, it just
you?
Meant that, and it wasn't that, you know, some people say official photographer. A lot of people took his picture. He was a world-class guy, you know. But it meant that when he wanted a photo, he would call me. And like, for instance, when Sean was born and he wanted some pictures to send to his family, he called me about a month later to do some family photos.
So did you ever consider yourself to be a photojournalist? Or
always.
So how then, how do you maintain that kind of journalist objectivity when you're such good friends with the person at the other end, on the other side of the lens?
If you respect your subjects, you don't embarrass them. You know, I wasn't an investigative journalist, you know, in the sense of trying to expose anything. I try to show people as they are and as they want to be seen. I try to work with them. I mean, they're artists, and they and their media, their public image is part of their career. So I try to find out what they want to look like and work with them on that level.
And did you have a kind of understanding with any of these artists that, you know, when the drugs came out, that the camera would go away, that sort of thing?
Pretty much. I learned early on that you have to testify in order for a picture to appear at a trial, and I never wanted to have to testify against any friends. So if there was anything like that going on and I saw it, I wouldn't really record it. It wasn't something I tended to want to publish.
So in the early 21st century, Bob, is the music photographer, concert photographer, is that still a viable profession? If it ever was, I mean, you said it was difficult at the beginning.
I think it is. It's, like I say, it never was a high-paying profession. And right now, there's so much more competition because so many more people are taking pictures. But it is a fun profession if somebody's not looking to cash in and get rich quick. You know, you can make a lot more money in fashion or in advertising than rock and roll.
But it's a lot more fun in rock and roll, isn't
it? It's a lot more fun in rock and roll. You know, some people like to have music playing in the background. I like to have it in the foreground.
The book out is called New York Dolls, Photographs by Bob Gruen. And we'll continue our conversation with Bob in a moment. You can see some of his work on our website, including a shot of this band, Led Zeppelin, and their jet. In a moment, Bob Gruen and I will be joined by a member of the latest generation of rock photographers. She'll tell us how fan photography is changing her work as well. And coming up in a little while, we'll have a live performance in our studio from the rising young classical pianist Shayin Wang, playing some music by Scriabin and Haydn here in our Soundcheck studio. Stay with us. You're listening to an encore edition of Soundcheck. You're listening to a repeat broadcast of Soundcheck.
Ramblin', where to begin? I taste summer on your papery skin.
This is Soundcheck. I'm John Schaefer. More now in our look at fan photography, the revolution that is changing the art and the business of rock photography. We've been speaking with photographer Bob Gruen here in the studio, and I'm joined now by another photographer, Elizabeth Weinberg. Her images have appeared in Rolling Stone, Spin, Entertainment Weekly, and on music blogs like Brooklyn Vegan. She's an award-winning photographer. What award has she won, you might ask? Well, I'm glad you asked that question, because Elizabeth won Soundcheck's Concert Photo Contest back in 2007 with an image of this band, the Decemberists, whom we were just hearing. Elizabeth, welcome back to Soundcheck.
Thank you.
How did your stunning victory in the Soundcheck Photo Contest not catapult you to international fame as
Who's
a concert photographer?
you know, it was definitely... it was definitely good for, you know, publicity and stuff like that. And that image actually ended up in Spin. That was in Spin a month before that. So.
The picture of the Decembrists.
Yeah.
You've also shot the big music festivals at Bonnaroo, Pitchfork, Lollapalooza.
Mm-hmm.
But as Bob was saying, you know, it's a different ball game out there.
Absolutely.
when everybody else, when the other 10,000 people in the arena have basically little cameras as well.
Mm-hmm.
So are you doing less concert photography now?
Doing less of it just because it's very grueling. You're out there, it's hot, it's dusty, you're running around, sweaty, cameras, you know, it's heavy. But it is fun. I mean, it's definitely, I don't want to say that it's, you know, I've tossed it off completely, but it's definitely a different ball game now, because everyone, you're in a pit with 100 people versus, you know, 3 people.
Mm-hmm. Well, and almost the first thing that Bob said when we started today was, you know, there's a lot more places to place these photographs, but a lot of those places don't, you know, they're on the internet, they don't pay. It's just you do it for the joy of it, you
Absolutely.
Know, to see your name on the little caption and stuff. Is it possible to be a professional at this?
I think it is. It's definitely, you can't make a living just shooting live stuff. You can make a good amount of money doing promos and you know, being hired to do, say you're being hired to shoot a whole tour, or, you know, doing portraits of bands and stuff like that, and album artwork, packaging, that sort of thing will actually pay a lot more than live stuff will.
So it seems to come back, Bob, to the question of access, which we were talking about before. How does access happen if... I mean, you were living with the guys in a rock band, so that's one way.
One way, yeah. You can live with them. it really takes a lot to get to know people. It's a lot of networking, a lot of going out constantly night after night. I got more of my jobs after midnight than 9 to 5, that's for sure. You know, running into somebody at 2 in the morning and getting to be friends with them over the next hour. And then they say, come by tomorrow to our video shoot or something like that.
What about access in the clubs? I mean, Elizabeth, you know... Are the days where you could get a photo pass, a press pass, and get right down to the front of the stage, are those days over?
No, not at all. And especially in the smaller clubs here in New York, you don't even need a pass for a lot of them, a lot of the smaller ones.
And most of the clubs, if you don't get in anybody's way, they won't get in your way.
Yeah, they don't really care.
They're pretty open about that. It's when you get into a concert situation and you have to deal with publicists and lawyers and managers. And
well, I, Radio City Music Hall just the other month, David Byrne was doing a concert. And, you know, between songs at one point, he said, you know, they say you're not supposed to take photographs here, but, you know, what are they going to do, confiscate all of your cell phones?
Right. Yeah. Well, that's kind of changed the situation when everybody has a camera. And it's a kind of camera that fits in your pocket and they can't really take it away. I think the L.A. Staples Center had a rule that you couldn't have a camera that had a telephoto lens.
Mm.
In other words, you can have a cell phone
or
and even a pocket
lens.
Camera, a detachable
yeah.
lens, that's what it is. And that would be the definition of a more professional camera.
But it's getting to the point where you can get great photos from a very small machine. So.
Oh, yeah.
The snarky section of our sound check audience, represented by a listener who called in to ask, how did Bob Gruen manage to get by in his career? The first 15 years, he rarely took a photo in focus.
because after 15 years, it turned into a style. And people stopped asking if it was in focus, and they started realizing that I was getting the subject. You know, what does it say? I like to – the feelings are clear, even if the subject isn't sharp. And that's what I do. I photograph feelings more than actual facts.
So how important is technique? Is knowing the ins and outs of all...
If you got a good one, it's very important.
Well, here's...
But I never really knew a lot of the facts and figures of photography. And that's what a lot of people say, which do you like better, if digital or film? I don't really like either one. My idea is to make an image and get it in the media. And in that sense, it doesn't matter how. I would paint if I could. But I don't, so I take pictures.
Mm-hmm.
And to me, it doesn't really matter whether it's film or digital. I was never really good in the technical side of things.
Elizabeth, what makes a good rock photograph in 2009? Is it different from what the answer might have been 30 years ago when Bob took that John Lennon shot?
I don't think that's any different. It's, I mean, an image that's powerful is going to be powerful if it's digital film. You know, even you can take a great, amazing picture with a small camera too. It's just about the timing and the subject's very important, obviously, and just the way that it's captured.
All right, now let me read you both a comment that came in from Terrell in New Jersey. I've learned from photographer friends that one of the secrets to getting a great photo is taking lots of pictures. Although no substitute for a well-trained and experienced concert photographer, all those iPhones snap quite a lot of pictures, raising the odds of great photos coming from concertgoers. What do you guys think? Bob?
That's the advice I give people all the time, is to take a lot of pictures. And if you take a lot of them, you're bound to get a good one. And if you only show the good ones, then people think you're good. And that's what worked for me.
And with digital now, you can shoot, 400 pictures on a card. And
you don't have to pay to process the film.
Yeah, you're not carrying bags of film around with you, which I've done once before. I was shooting all 35 millimeter, and it was just completely...
I just think editing has a lot to do with it. You know, when people take 400 pictures and then they put all 400 up on their Facebook page, that's not really going to get as many compliments as if they take the one or two best ones and put that up, and people say, like, oh, my God, you're really good. And just hide those other 398 for later, for never.
I mean, that's the case with any photo job. You only see the best ones.
So
I mean,
if you're taking a photo, if you're on stage with the Flaming Lips and, Wayne Coyne gets in his hamster wheel and heads out to the audience and you're on that stage.
I mean, that photo that's on the site, I shot probably 200 pictures of that, hamster wheel, and I picked the best one, and that's the one that's like epic,
And you can see a slideshow of both photographers' works, Elizabeth Weinberg and Bob Gruen, on the Soundcheck page, including this striking photograph of this band, the Flaming Lips. And Flaming Lips, the Yeah 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 song. You'll never hear it the same way after you see Elizabeth Weinberg's picture of Wayne Coyne in concert, in his hamster wheel, crowd surfing. We're speaking with both photographers, Bob Gruen and Elizabeth Weinberg, and looking at the revolution of fan photography in the rock world.
Check out today's Soundcheck blog.
At the South by Southwest Festival, I snapped a quick shot of Moby on my cell phone. I ended up with a figure that could have been Moby or anyone else against a neat abstract background of black and white geometric patterns. It was kind of arty, actually, or totally awful.
For the rest of the story, visit the Soundcheck page at WNYC.org.
So how much does luck come into all of this, Bob? You snap that photo. I mean, these kids with their cell phones, half the time they don't see through the view.
You're
they're just raising it and hitting the
it's
button.
It's just about the moment. There's a lot of luck involved in getting a good shot. Even when you're planning it and you're trying it and you got your exposure right, it's still that luck of, like, when you push the button, is the guy going to be blinking or not? is somebody going to wave their hand right in front of you or not? That's why you take a lot of pictures and hope that you're lucky on some of them.
Do you still take a lot of photos?
Oh, yeah.
Do you take a lot of concert photos?
I always have a pocket camera with me, and I put that up on my website, on bobgruen.com. I keep a running diary of where I've been and what I've been doing.
Mm-hmm. Elizabeth, when you go to concerts, are you prepared should the inspiration strike?
Yeah, I've definitely, in recent times, just gone to concerts and not brought a camera, which is very rare for me. It used to be very rare for me, and just want to enjoy it. But if it's a band that I really, really like, I'll bring a camera and sometimes even try to get a photo pass, especially if the venue's larger where you need one.
Now you said before that you're looking to do more, portraits, being hired to shoot an entire tour. Are we looking for something different? When every concert produces literally dozens of almost the same image from cell phone cameras, are we looking now for a different image?
Absolutely. And I've been lucky in that I know bands, and sometimes I'll be shooting from behind the stage or on the side of the stage, which is where, I'm the only one there. I'm the only one who's going to get that angle, and that sort of photo is far, I think, far more interesting than the photo that, you know, 50 people in the pit are going to be getting at the exact same moment.
That's very important. Let's get something different. A lot of times when there's 50 people in the pit all getting a picture of the guy's face, I'll go up to the back row and take a picture of the whole event.
Yeah, just so I have something different. Well, something completely, totally different.
What is the single iconic image of Babe Ruth? It's that guy who took the photo, who could not get with the rest of the photographers in front of Babe Ruth at his farewell 3 weeks or whatever it was before his death at Yankee Stadium, and got the shot of him from behind, just the number
three. Yeah, very often I'll play on that and capture the event rather than, you know, just one guy standing there with his face. If you show him surrounded by 40 photographers, that makes it an event. And also it makes your photo unique because the other 40 just have his face. You know?
Right.
Exactly right.
And Elizabeth, if you know the bands, and again, we come back to the question of access, another thing that really separates the professional from the crowd, from the fan, you can put Dr. Dog in a coal mine or whatever the heck that place is.
Yeah, that was actually a train tunnel in the Poconos Mountains. I got hired by them to do their press photos about a year and a half ago. And I didn't know them. They just called me up and they hired me.
They must have heard you won our contest.
Well, what happens a lot of times is I'll be a big fan of an artist and email them and say, do you need any press photos? I love your work. I'll do it for nominal, you know, maybe not even any money at all. I'm a big fan. And then that starts a relationship where they like the pictures and then they'll call me back and then that sort of thing.
Yeah, I think that's an important part is to make sure that the group gets to see your photos.
Mm-hmm.
And then if,
only the good ones, though, right?
Only the good
ones. Absolutely.
Yeah, definitely only the good ones. But then if they like the photos, they'll call you and ask you to do more.
This is the band Dr. Dog, which Elizabeth photographed in this disused train tunnel in the Poconos. We've been speaking with Elizabeth Weinberg, photographer who's appeared in magazines like Rolling Stone and Spin and Entertainment Weekly, and Bob Gruen. And you can view slideshows of both of their works on the Soundcheck page at WNYC.org. Bob, Elizabeth, thank you both for being with us on Soundcheck.
Thanks
for
having us.
Still to come, pianist Shayin Wong tackles the treacherous music of Alexander Scriabin with a live performance at Our Piano. You're listening to a repeat broadcast of Soundcheck.